Welcome to Path to Permanent Weight Loss, a podcast designed to help overachieving women put their weight loss struggle behind them so they can become the version of themselves that they were always meant to be. I'm your host, Julia Brooks. Today, we will be discussing how to listen to what your body and soul are telling you when it comes to weight loss. And joining me is Julie Connard. Julie is a published author, Reiki master, wellness coach, and a minister. A true humanitarian at heart, she has dedicated her life to healing others through body, physical, and spiritual, to both physical and spiritual guidance. Julie, I am so honored and excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Julia. I'm excited too.
I'm so excited. I know we've had some of the best conversations together, and I always get so much insight from our chats. So I'm really excited to just have you on the show and have you here. So Julie, when we have excess weight on our bodies, there's clearly an imbalance, right? There's something going on. There's a disconnection between, you know, what we're eating and in our bodies. And so when we have that imbalance and we have excess weight, what is the soul and or the body trying to tell us? What is the message it's trying to send to us?
Well, it's certainly trying to tell us something. When we're carrying around extra weight, it's often a signal that our bodies are out of alignment. So think of the body or the self in four parts. So you have the mental body, the emotional body, the physical body, and the spiritual body. So when one of these four aspects of the self are out of sync, there's a message that the body tries to tell us. So for instance, anything that manifests in the emotional body that's out of balance is going to have a signal in the physical body. Same with the emotional, and same with the spiritual. So usually that signal is pain. So if we use the example of excess weight, we tend to carry a little bit more joint pain or a little bit more muscle pain. So pain itself is a signal. It's a message through the physical body from the mental, emotional, spiritual. So what does pain mean? Pain means pay attention inward now. So it's a signal for us to kind of dig deep into what's happening inside of ourselves to regain that message. So the thing is, most of us go through life like on autopilot. We don't really pay attention to what's happening inside of us. We pay attention so much. We have all this external stimuli that's happening around us that we don't actually quiet the mind to go inside to say, okay, what's actually happening here? So when that pain is a message, it gives us the opportunity then to become mindful instead of mindless. So the physical body is showing us where the imbalance is loud and clear. So the emotional pain might be like feeling disappointed or disgusted with ourselves or not liking the person that we see in the mirror. So that would be an example of emotional pain. We may have the physical joint pain from carrying the extra weight. Mental pain, an example of that might be depression or looping self-sabotaging thoughts. And in severe cases, spiritual pain. So feeling disconnected from ourselves or from your higher power, whatever that is for you. So when we start moving away from mindless living and more into the mindful living, we can actually get those messages loud and clear. So that takes us into a whole nother element of responsibility. So once we become mindful, then we now have an opportunity to make responsible choices that can move us away from not only the mindless, but also away from the pain. So our responsibility lies in recognizing that there's an imbalance in the first place, and then taking a moment to kind of determine what's the best course of action to take to find that harmony within all of those bodies in ourself. So to answer your question, what is the body trying to tell us? That answer is actually both complex and simple. So the complex part is going to be different for each of us. For some, the message might be that it's time to rewire some old beliefs that maybe were imposed on you when you were a child. Things like, oh, you're such a big girl, or You don't have the right body type to be a dancer or a gymnast or something like that, right? So things like hypnosis or NLP are great resources to kind of shift those old beliefs or rewire those old beliefs. For some, the complex message might be it's time to adjust the habits or the routines that are so automatic or ingrained that we aren't even aware of like what we're doing. So for instance, fasting, that's a great way to kind of interrupt those old patterns and to really become mindful of what we're doing that's automatic, you know, instead of what's mindful. And for some, it might be emotional eating, right? So rewarding ourselves with food after a long day, or binging when we're experiencing disappointment or grief or loneliness. And so if emotional eating is something that we struggle with, counseling for emotional intelligence or something like the emotional freedom technique might be a really great way to help make healthier choices for our bodies. So there's lots of messages that our soul could be sending us, right?
I love that. Yeah. And I'm just kind of, you know, soaking up what you're saying, because it's so beautiful, you know, when you explain it in four parts, you know, and then just this idea that there is a message that our body is trying to send us, that our soul is trying to send us. And it's, hey, we're out of balance here. And so, and I love that you defined it as an opportunity. Like, this is an opportunity to look inward when there's all this outward noise going on, to look inward and say, hey, what is going on? Is it emotional eating? Is it these old beliefs? Is it, you know, this or that? And finding out what that is, and then finding kind of a path that you can take to start growing, not just, you know, with your body and getting healthier, but also in a spiritual way and in a way with your mindset, because you're actually growing, and then it's kind of this beautiful synergy that comes into balance. I love that.
Yeah. And so just to expand just a little bit on that, because that's really the complex. If you're willing to do the deep dive, there's actually a really simple message that the body and the soul could be trying to portray to you as well. And that's simply, it's time to make responsible choices, right? We have only control over two things in this world. And those two things are how we choose to act and how we choose to react. So our power actually lies in the choice. So most of us forget that the power is ours all along. So when we're going through life on autopilot, it's easy to believe that it's easy to believe those mean things that are said about us, or we can mindlessly feed our emotions. And when we do those things, our power is outside of us. But simply by having the awareness that we're choosing habits and we're choosing beliefs and we're choosing the circumstances, that's the first step to making responsible choices. And so that having that awareness that we always have a choice, it's the first step to making different choices that can be more appropriate for us. So we're actually reclaiming our power in that, in a sense.
I love that. It puts you in a place of power to make your own decisions and to not be led by being on autopilot, which leads me to my next question that I wanted to ask you. So I think of the monkey mind when I think of this question, but, you know, let's say that a woman does struggle with overeating. Okay. And, you know, maybe she goes and eats an entire lemon pie. I'm not speaking from experience, I swear. Maybe a little bit. eats an entire lemon pie. And when she eats it, you know, if she really were to sit down and say, hey, like, is it my mind that wants this food, or is it my body that actually needs the nourishment? It's probably the mind, right? Yeah. But how do we get past this monkey mind? Because it's really empowering to say, oh, we're going to make great decisions. But how do we do it when we're in the moment and there's a pie in front of us and it doesn't serve us or nourish us at all, but our mind is saying pie, pie, pie,
pie.
How do we kind of move past that in the moment and listen to what our body's telling us and find, you know, things that nourish us instead?
Yeah, so it's a practice and it's a discipline, and it's not something that we can do right away. There is a bit of a process to get to the place where you can do this. But what my favorite way of quieting that monkey mind is through meditation. There's a lot of myths around meditation, but here's the thing. Meditation doesn't have to be a big, long practice that's really involved. In just 3 to 4 minutes of intentional breathing or meditation, we can create a whole new chemical reaction that happens in the brain and the body that triggers us into a state of calm and ease. When we're in this place of calm and ease, that pie, 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 pie that's pounding on us in our mind, it doesn't stand a chance. So simply by coming into the breath and just giving yourself a couple of minutes of calm to quiet the monkey mind, it actually is triggering the nervous system to settle down, so it's not hyper firing on that thing that we're focused on. And it allows us to like fall into a gap or fall into that awareness of responsible choice. So I love to use the box breath or the square breath. It's become really popular in the last 10 years with psychologists. And it's so easy. It's simply inhaling for a count of four, holding for a count of four, exhaling for a count of four, and holding for a count of four. So we're just going around. I imagine that I'm drawing a box in my mind as I do this. And I inhale, hold, exhale, hold. Well, if you're doing that for a count of four, it only takes about 16 breaths for this chemical reaction to happen in the body. And that's about 3 minutes of intentional breathing. So I for me, that works. It does take a little bit of practice to get to that point where you can do that breath, right? But it's a choice.
Yeah, I've tried that before. I've tried the box breathing, and it actually helps me to keep my eyes open and find a box in the room, because you can almost always find a box in the room.
Yeah.
And it resets your nervous system. Right.
Totally.
So it puts you in this great state. So would you recommend doing that, like, while you're thinking about the pie and while it's in front of you? Or is it something that you'd recommend to kind of have a practice in the morning with, because then it'll carry through the day?
The box breath is actually great to do anytime during the day. Anytime you're feeling like out of balance, or if you're faced with that temptation, it's a really great way to do it. There are some other quick interrupts that you could do. I use the emotional freedom technique. I can now stare down a coconut cream pie and not eat it.
Oh my gosh. No, okay.
Honestly, it's amazing. So the emotional freedom technique is definitely a deep dive, and it's not a difficult concept or tool to learn how to do, but it is one of my favorite things, and it can happen, within like less than a minute. You can switch and make a different decision when you're in the moment.
That is so amazing.
Yeah. I love it. And so, I mean, meditation isn't that hard. It's super easy. We can get into the gaps really easy. It's just choosing the breath, choosing to be mindful in the moment. And then from there, taking the responsible action of making a choice that's more appropriate for you in that moment.
Yeah. So, and as you're saying this, I'm hearing you, and I'm just imagining, you know, a woman, you know, from this, listening to this episode, and she goes and she does it right before, you know, she's staring at the lemon pie, and she's like, my gosh, like, this isn't working right away. Right. Because I know from experience, it doesn't work right away. The first time, you might still go for the pie. It takes a little bit of practice. How long would you say that it takes for someone to really kind of get into that and for it to start regulating your nervous system?
So the thing is, after 3 minutes of intentional breathing, you've already created, it's actually like the chemical is so strong that's released in the brain. It's like Valium. So within 3 to 4 minutes, you're going to feel the effect immediately. The trick is to do it regularly. Like, there's some days where I really struggle and I might do the box breath 10 or 12 times in a day. Because it's a training, right? It's a discipline. It's a practice. And then there's other days where I don't have to use it at all because I'm in the zone or I'm in the gap. So it really is a bit of a practice. The other quick thing that you could do when you're staring down that pie and it's really, really tempting is to just use an affirmation. I don't need to add anything else to my body or to my system right now. I have enough energy to support me for the rest of the day. I have enough fuel and vitality within to go and to complete everything that I have set out before me. I don't need that pie. I don't need it. I have everything I already exists within me in this moment. So just using a different kind of self-talk to talk yourself out of it. You can talk yourself into anything. You can talk yourself out of anything.
It is so true. And I love that. I love that. In the first question, we talked a little bit about, our intuition and kind of going inward and listening to what our body's trying to tell us. Someone that's never gone inward, someone that has always kind of listened to the noise on the outside, how do you go inward and listen to your intuition, to what your body's trying to tell you, your body or your soul? How would you recommend someone start with that?
That's a great question. It really is to get quiet, to get comfortable with being quiet. Turn off the news, turn off the music. When you're driving to work, drive in silence. Get comfortable being in your own skin, comfortable being with your own thoughts. Now, you might not like what you hear and what you feel when you first do this, but this is part of us learning how to plug back in and listen to ourselves and find out what's happening inside of this meat suit that we're traveling in. We're so unaware of what's happening inside of us. So the first step really is to just get quiet and get comfortable with being quiet inside. It's not any more complicated than that. Go for a walk in nature. Take the AirPods out and just be in nature. Listen to the birds. Be with nature, and be with your breath. Be with your own body system. Feel your own heartbeat. Just get quiet.
I love that. I love that. Nature really does it for me, and what you're saying, it kind of reminds me, I think we all have a friend, right? That just, she always has to talk. Like, silence makes her super uncomfortable. And I think there's such a value in that. So I completely agree. And when we go in and we try to find that intuition, does having excess weight on the body, like let's say a woman has an extra 50 or 70 pounds, does that inhibit our ability to get in tune with what our body's trying to tell us? And if so, how does it inhibit us?
Actually, I'm not sure that weight itself interferes with our intuition. But I think how we feel about ourselves interferes with that communication, that body-mind connection. Like if we're not happy or comfortable or content in this meat suit that our soul wears, then the negative and the self-destructive self-talk that happens in our own mind, it creates a lot of static. It creates a lot of white noise that can really make it challenging to hear our intuition and what our bodies are trying to tell us. So I think it comes back to those limiting beliefs and those patterns and those routines, right? Those signals that the body is picking up, the physical body is picking up from those other bodies, So I think it's the noise. I think it's the noise that interferes with the communication. It's not necessarily the weight itself. The weight is like a symptom of the imbalance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when I had all of my extra weight, I would always, be uncomfortable because I would think in my head, like this body doesn't match up to how I feel in the inside. In the inside, I'm a strong, capable woman and I'm a motivator and this and that. And it just didn't feel like when I looked in the mirror, it added up. And so there was that incongruence. And I definitely think that that inhibits, I can see exactly what you're saying now.
I think that's a great example, Julia, because when we're conditioned, we're programmed to look at the outside world as being the trigger, when really it's what happens inside of us creates our outside world. And so when we're feeling down, and it's like you wake up in the morning and you have a bad hair day, and you're like, you look and you see the bad hair in the mirror. The rest of your day is going to be like harebrained. It's going to be confusing. There's going to be mishaps. When we start the day with an intention of it, and that's really what a thought is an intention. We start the day like, oh, I'm having such a bad hair day. We actually have a bad hair day. We've used that as the framework. But when we can go inside and we can set an intention, like, I am beautiful just as I am. I'm so thankful for this body that I'm in because it allows me to do and interact and serve other people and, love on my kids and do my job really well. And like, it gets me around. I'm so thankful for the body that I'm in. But when we start with that type of awareness inside of ourselves, we can't help but love what we see in the mirror. So what happens inside of us creates what happens outside of us. So we're programmed the other way. It's reprogramming ourselves to create the beauty inside so we can see the beauty outside as well.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm just because your mind is always going to look for what's wrong, and it's up to you to find what's right. So
absolutely.
I love that you're saying that. And okay, so I know that you've talked to me about this test. So I know that, you know, we, you know, Paul and I were talking to you and Tim, your husband, about, you know, this investment property we were considering, and you had told us to go do something, and we went and did it. And we actually ended up not investing in the property after this test that you had us do. And it was so cool. And I remember you saying, you know, that you've done it in the grocery store before, just to kind of listen to your intuition and figure out if something is right for you. I just thought it was so valuable. Can you describe it to the audience just so they can maybe try it too, because it was so helpful for us.
Perfect. Yeah. So that test was muscle testing, which is a really great discerning tool for anything in life. So think of the brain in two parts. You have the conscious mind and you have the unconscious mind. The conscious mind is that decision-making mind, the part that wants control and it interacts with social life. And some people refer to the conscious mind as the ego. And then the other part is the unconscious mind. Now, this mind is our true navigational beacon, if you will. It's the part of the brain that controls the beat of the heart, the breath of the lungs, all of the hormones, all of the systems within the body that are automatic and rhythmic, the part that keeps us living and existing and thriving. So if we didn't have that part of the brain, we wouldn't exist. It's all of life would stop. So because it never rests, it always has our best interest in mind. It always has our best health and wellness in mind because it wants to continue to thrive. So when we muscle test, what we're doing is bypassing the conscious mind and listening, giving the unconscious mind or your intuition, if you will, an opportunity to communicate with us. And so that's the premise behind muscle testing and how it works, but it's super simple. So when I'm in the grocery store, if there's something that I want to buy, I take that item off the shelf and I just hold it to my heart. And I stand kind of hip width apart, and I just close my eyes. And I take a deep breath and I ask myself, is this item, so is this banana good for me? And if my body begins to sway towards it and I lean in towards it, it means, yeah, that banana is good for me. But if I hold that item here and I ask the same question, is this good for my constitution? Will this nourish my body in a positive way? And my body falls away from it and pushes me away from it. It's not for me. So it's a simple, if you're leaning in, it's for you. If you're leaning away. Now, that's pretty obvious. I've looked like a crazy person in the grocery store when I first started doing this, so I'm not going to lie. But once you get used to how your body reacts and responds, you can use the smaller muscles and more discreet ways of testing that don't make you look like a crazy person. So basically the premise is if you're leaning into it or you have a strong response, that thing is good for you. And if it's not, your unconscious mind is saying, no, it's not for me. So for me, this is how one of the ways I discovered that my body has an intolerance to dairy. And so once I knew that my body just really doesn't, my body doesn't process dairy the way that others maybe do, I've been able to cut dairy out of my diet now, and it's made a huge impact on my life, right? My digestion is better. My skin is clearer. My sleep is better. There's no more bloat. There's all kinds of great effects, but I wouldn't have known that if I didn't actually take that yogurt, which I was having every single day, take it and just lean in. And I wasn't leaning in. I was leaning away. So it's a great tool. It's an absolutely great discerning tool.
I completely agree. And it seems so simple, but it really works. Your body will lean forward or back. And if you try it, you know, even if you just go grab something in your refrigerator and you try it at home, it's so interesting. And it's so funny when you said that you sometimes look like a crazy person. I was just imagining Paul and I standing in front of that that property with our, you know, hands there and all of that. But it was so worth it because once we did it, we just knew.
Yeah.
And So I just thought it was a really, really powerful tool. And so I appreciate you sharing that. And Julie, how do you think taking care of your body, reaching a healthy weight, right? Because our bodies are energy, right? So taking care of your body, reaching a healthy weight, and having more energy moves someone's spirit forward in life.
Well, here's the thing. Spirit's going to move forward no matter what, right? So I think maybe the bigger question is, you know, how do we want to travel in this meat suit? How do we want to go through life? I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through life suffering. I don't want to go through life sitting on a couch and watching Netflix, or, you know, watching other people really engage in life. I want to participate. I want to thrive. I want to go through life without aches and pains, without the bloat. I want to be making memories with my kids and my friends and my family. And I want to live hard. I want to love harder, you know? And to do that, I need to be in a state of wellness. I choose to be in a state of wellness. So making choices that support healthy whole living, that provide energy instead of deplete energy, choices that empower not only myself, but everyone around me. I want to continually be inspiring myself and others to experience fulfillment and joy and love and beauty and grace, like all the things. I want to experience all the things. I want to live hard. So when I frame it this way to myself, there's no question, there's no doubt what the priority or the importance of making healthy choices are for me. I think when our why is big enough, all the excuses just fade away into the background. There's not an excuse in the world that will stand a chance. You know, I'm going to consistently choose how I'm moving forward in life to thrive, because that's where it's at. I don't know that carrying around the extra weight it's not ideal. It's not my ideal way of living. You know, I can do it, but I want to be able to get down on the ground and I want to play. You know, I want to skip rope with the kids. I want to run. I want to run races with them on the beaches when we travel. You know, like I really want to be fully active and engaged in my life. I don't want to hold back because my knees can't get me there, or because my back can't get me there, or because I'm not comfortable in this skin that I'm in. I want all the things. I want all the things, and I want to live hard. Yeah.
That is so beautiful, Julie. That touched me so deeply. I had a very similar why, and I just appreciate you sharing that. I want to live hard. That got me. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Julie. This has been so insightful, and I've loved chatting with you. This has been so much fun. Julie is an incredible author, and you can find her most recent book, Finding the Well in Wellness, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, and all of the major platforms. As always, I'd love to hear from you about this episode. How do you think having a healthy body moves your spirit forward in life? You can let me know on all social media platforms at I Am Julia Brooks. Also, I'm giving away a free 7-day meal plan to kickstart your journey. Just go to www.pwlacademy.com/meal plan to grab your copy.